But thankful for the privilege the Lord's given me to preach this evening. And we're going to preach again about the family. We've been looking at the family throughout the month of February. We told you we were going to start a series on the family. And just to review the messages that we have heard so far, we talked about Christ in the family. And we said how that Christ is to be the foundation of the family. And He is to be the theme of the family. And He ultimately is the blessing. He provides the blessings for the family as well. So we talked about Christ and the family. And then last Sunday, we dealt with the enemies of the family. And we talked about how that we have an enemy without. And that's the greatest adversary we have, the devil, who's as a roaring lion. And he's walking about, seeking whom he may devour. But we are to resist the devil, and he will flee from us. Remember, the Bible says that when Jesus fought the devil with Scripture, then the devil, the Bible says, leaveth him alone. So we can have victory over the devil. We can claim victory in Jesus, can't we? And so we have the enemy from without, and then we have enemies from within in the home as well. And we talked about how that many times those enemies from within are because of our own choices that we make in disobedience to the Lord inside the walls of our home. So we've got to be careful about the enemies in the family. And then this morning we talked about the church and the family. The church and the family. How that the church is an extension of the family. They're to work together to build one another up, not to break each other down, but to build one another up. We talked about how the church should emphasize the importance of the home, and the home should emphasize the importance of the church. Both of them are so important. The church emphasizing the Christian home. By the way, we're doing that this month, aren't we? We're emphasizing the importance of the Christian home. And then at our homes, we need to emphasize the importance of the church as well. And so both of them together, working together to build one another up. And we talked this morning about how the home and the church cooperates. We gave you several words this morning. We talked about the example that Jesus leaves us with his love for the church. And then we talked about how there's an equipping that takes place amongst the home and the church. And then an educating. And then we talked about edifying one another in the local church as well as in our homes, building one another up. And then we talked about using our spiritual gifts to enrich the church. The church is made up of homes. It's made up of Christian families, isn't it? And so we all come together and we enrich the church with the blessings of the spiritual gifts that God has given to each and every one of us. And then as we close this morning, we said, how can the home or the family help the church? We said, number one, through intercession, we need to be praying. Praying for the church, praying for the needs of the church, praying for the leadership of the church, the growth of the church, the ministries of the church. And then we said, number two, our investment. And we invest through giving of our time, our talents, our spiritual gifts, the treasure, in the offering of our tithes and our offerings. So we invest in the church that way. The church is making an investment in us, and we want to make an investment in the church as well, right? And then we talked about involvement. Being involved in the church. First and foremost, being involved with our attendance. Being faithful to the house of God. Oh, how important it is to be faithful to the house of God. When the doors of God's house are open, we're to be there. We're to be faithful, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And then what is another way we're involved? We're involved in service. Don't sit, but find a place where you can serve the Lord in some way. Where you can use those gifts that God has given to you. And then we can be involved as far as our witness is concerned. To be faithful to give out the good news and the message of the gospel to others that are around us. Let's be faithful as God's people, Christian families, coming together to help the church, being faithful to be a witness for the Lord. By the way, one of the ways that we can be a witness in weeks to come, inviting folks for the Family and Friends Sunday. So that we can have folks under the sound of the gospel, may be able to hear Evangelist Areza as he comes to preach, and then have opportunity to ask the Lord to be their Savior if they've never done that, or make decisions of spiritual growth as well. So let's be a witness that way. Well, tonight from the book of Genesis, I want to talk about this. Change gears a little bit. We're talking still about the family, still about the home, and we dealt with Christ in the home, and then the enemies of the home, and then the church in the home, and I want to talk about the roles in the family. The roles in the family. And I'm going to say a couple statements to open this up this evening that I want you to consider when it comes to the roles that God gives each of us inside of the home. Now, we mentioned this several Sunday mornings ago, that every one of us that would be sitting here tonight in the church service, the same as what we said several Sunday mornings ago, everyone who would be sitting under the sound of the preaching tonight has some type of a role in your home. You have some type of a role that God has given to you. So it's not just for a certain group. God has given a role to everyone. And I want to say two statements by way of introduction tonight that I want you to consider as far as the roles that God has given inside of the family, inside of the Christian home. Number one, two statements that I want to say to you this evening. Number one, relationships determine roles. So the relationships that we have determine our roles. So for instance, if your relationship in the family is that you are a husband, that has determined what your role is. If in the family you say, I'm a father, if that's your relationship inside of the home, that has determined then what your roles are. Same for the women. If we would say, I'm a wife inside the home, or I'm a mother, well, then that would determine what your roles are. Children that are here tonight, you'd say, I'm a child within the home. So that would determine what your role is. So statement number one is this: relationships determine roles. But then statement number two is this: once we figured out what our role is, roles create responsibility. Roles create responsibility. So we'll put all of that together. Once we've determined what our relationship is inside the home, we figured out what our role is. And then once we know what our role is, we understand what our responsibility is. This is the relationship that I have, so God has given me this as a role within my home, something He desires for me to be and what He desires for me to do in the home. And so therefore, that comes with responsibilities. And so that's what we're going to talk about over the course of several messages that we're going to preach here about the roles that are found within the family. And when we think of roles within the home, probably the number one question at least the world would ask, those that are maybe even outside the walls of this church, they might say, well, are men and women equal then? As far as the roles are concerned, we're talking about husbands and wives within a home and fathers and mothers. Well, then would women and men in the relationship and the roles of the home be equal? Well, there's a yes and a no answer to that, right? Because yes, we would be equal in the sense that we all bear God's image, don't we? The Bible says we're created in the image of God. We're all equal when it comes to that, aren't we? We're all equal when it comes to importance. So there's not one role or relationship within a home that is more important than the other. It's that we would take the role that God has given to us and we would complete it to the best of our ability. So yes, with importance, we're equal. There's none that we would say that one is greater or of more importance than the other. But then another way in which men and women in the homes would be equal would be spiritual opportunities that God gives us. He makes that equal, doesn't He? He gives to us spiritual opportunities that every one of us within the home could take advantage of and be able to use for His honor and His glory. Now, the answer to that question would also have a no. So we talked about the ways that it would have a yes, but we talk about the ways that it would have a no as well. As far as position, no, we're not all equal. As far as function or the roles and responsibilities within a home, no, we're not all equal. God does give some differences there. But would we not look at this subject of men and women and children within a home, would we not look at it as a difference between one that is superior and one that is inferior, as much as we are looking at it as all of us taking our role and obeying God and doing what He would have for us to do? It's not looking at my role and saying, well, I'm inferior or my role is superior to someone. But to look at the role and the relationship and the responsibility that God has given to me and say, I'm going to do my very best to live in obedience to what God has asked me to do. So for tonight, I would like to go through some scripture passages this evening, and I would like to talk this evening about the role that God has placed upon the men within a home, the role that God has placed upon the husband in a home, the role that God has placed upon the father in the home. Now, if that is not the relationship that you have in the home, I don't want you to tune it out, because I want you to see what the Bible says about each of these different roles that we have within the family. And so don't tune it out, but instead concentrate on the message as a whole and see the way that God could use it to His honor and glory in your life. Can I say this about men and husbands and fathers within our home before we get to our text there? If we would get to a place where as Christian men, as Christian leaders, as Christian fathers and husbands, that we would fulfill the role that God has given to us, I believe that would lead to a better nation. I believe it would lead to a better church. I believe it would lead to better homes. But remember, we talked last week about how that we have a great enemy that desires that our homes are not pleasing to the Lord, wants to destroy our homes, wants to cause conflict and problem within the home. So the failure of men to be the right kind of father, and the failure of men to be the right kind of husband and to be the right kind of man has resulted in many ways of the breakdown that we have in American homes. It leads to chaos. It leads to confusion. How many times can we consider homes that have a man that's absent from the home, or a man that is not fulfilling the God-given roles and responsibilities and duties that God has given to him? And as a result of that, it leads in the home to chaos and it leads to confusion. So let's notice just a few thoughts here tonight, what God says about the role of a man is, the role of a husband, the role of a father. And in our lives, let's evaluate this role that God has given to us. Let's evaluate the responsibilities that come with it as we're preaching on the family. First of all, I want us to look at Genesis chapter 3, and I want us to notice this, number one, about the role and duties and responsibilities of men and husbands and fathers within the home. Number one, they are to be the family leader. They are to be, number one, the family leader. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 16, it says this. Now, this is when God has visited Adam and Eve in the garden, and they have sinned. Sin has now entered into the world, and God is now distributing to the man and to the woman and to the serpent the punishments that go along with their lack of obedience. And so we see the punishment for the serpent. And by the way, when we saw the punishment for the serpent, it ultimately was the picture, the first picture of the gospel in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Then we see the punishment that is given to the lady. And then he addresses Adam in verse number 17. And unto Adam he said, notice this in verse number 16, and then we'll get to verse 17. Verse 16, he's talking about the woman there and the punishment that comes along with her sin and her disobedience. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and now notice this, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. He's to be the family leader. Verse 17, the Bible says of Adam, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, in sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. A little bit later on in the message, we're going to come back to Genesis chapter 3, and see what the punishment from man led to as well. But here's what we notice in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 16. We notice that the role of a ruler or a leader is given to the man. Now, that's not the only verse that we would see that in. And so I want us to look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, because we want to base all of this on the Bible now. We want to look at our roles, our duties, our responsibilities based on the Bible. So look at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, if you would. And this is a verse we read a couple weeks ago when we were talking about Christ being the head of the home and ultimately Christ being the head of the church as well. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 3, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. So he gives the role, he gives the responsibility, he gives the duties of the man in the home. He is to be the family leader. Would you look at Ephesians chapter 5 with me if you would? Now, we're going to turn back to Ephesians 5 just a few moments later in the message, and we'll get back to this, but I want to look at a verse. In Ephesians chapter 5, if you were here this morning with us, you're going to recognize this passage because we read from this morning in Ephesians chapter 5. It's wonderful when you're going through a topic, how that you'll many times refer back to a passage because we want to see what the Bible says on it, and it's amazing how it ties all together, though, when you take the different passages on a particular subject. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. It says this, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body." So what did we establish from Genesis chapter 3 and 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and Ephesians chapter 5? That man is to be the family leader. He's to be the head of the home. Now, can I say this? That is a great responsibility. It is a great responsibility. As a matter of fact, one that we are going to be accountable for one day. So it's a great responsibility to lead our homes the way that God would have us to lead our homes. So can I say this for us as men? That we need to be an active and we need to be a visible leader. Two words I want you to remember. Let's be active as leaders in our homes. And let's be visible as leaders in our homes. So let's be the active and the visible leader that God wants us to be. I wanted to share with you a definition. What we would consider a leader to be. Would you consider this morning, or this evening, excuse me, as we're talking about men being the family leaders. What would we mean when we say that men are to be leaders? Notice this definition. It says that as leaders, we are to take the initiative to meet the needs of those placed under our authority. And then there's four more words. With a servant's heart. Consider that tonight. If you're to be the family leader that God wants you to be, you will take the initiative to meet the needs of those who are placed under your authority. Now, we're talking about being a leader within a home, but really that would apply to other roles of leadership too, wouldn't it? It would apply to many roles of leadership. Whatever position God has given us as far as being a leader, we would take the initiative to meet the needs of those that are placed under our authority and do it with a servant's heart. Can I say this? Christian families and Christian homes in our world today need a man's leadership. Christian families and Christian homes need a man's leadership. What I'm trying to say is this, men, we have to make sure that we are fulfilling the responsibility that God has given us to be the leaders within our homes. Families need the leadership of a man. So what does that look like within a home? Well, it would apply to our decision making. It would apply to our decision making. Can I say this, men, inside the walls of our home, let's take the leadership. Let's take the initiative when it comes to decision making. Now, we're going to give a couple thoughts under this in just a moment, so I want you to understand it in its entirety, but let's take the initiative. Let's take the leadership when it comes to making decisions within our home. A couple sub-thoughts under that. Let's pray for decisions that we're making that God would give us wisdom. If we're going to be active and we're going to be visible as the leaders of our homes and we're going to be the ones that are making decisions, we've got to seek God about those decisions. And we've got to ask Him for His wisdom and His guidance and His direction within our homes. But then, number two, I want you to consider this as a thought underneath decision-making in the home. That we as men and we as husbands would be willing to hear and evaluate the comments and the considerations of our wives. We would be willing to hear that. We would be willing to evaluate that. Now, God has given us the awesome responsibility of the final decision. He's given us the accountability one day of the decisions that are made as leaders in our families. But would we be willing to hear? Would we be willing to evaluate comments that our wife may make, considerations that she may make? It reminds me of Genesis chapter 31. In Genesis chapter 31, it's the story of Jacob. And now Jacob in Genesis 31 has two wives, doesn't he? He's married Leah. He didn't want to marry her. He wanted to marry Rachel. But he served 7 years for the purpose of marrying Rachel, and he ends up with Leah. What a disappointment, right? So then he works for 7 more years to be able to marry Rachel. So now he's worked all of those years to marry these ladies that he's married to, Jacob. And then the Bible tells us as he is serving their uncle Laban, God blesses him in a unique way with the animals that are in his possession that he's watching over. God blesses him in a unique way. And so Uncle Laban gets mad, doesn't he? And when we turn to Genesis chapter number 31, it even talks about how that Laban's countenance has now changed towards him. And he begins to speak to God. Now, what a perfect example Genesis chapter 31 is. Because he begins to speak to God, which means that he's doing what we said first. He is listening to the wisdom of God first. So he begins to speak to God. He realizes there's a decision that needs to be made. And so God tells him, you need to get up from where you're at and you need to return to Bethel. That's where you need to go. You need to get up from where you're at, get out under the supervision of your Uncle Laban, out from working under him, and you get yourself back to Bethel. Well, what does he do next? The Bible tells us he calls his two wives together to begin to speak to them. And so he talks to Rachel and he talks to Leah, and the passage of Scripture takes 10, 15 verses through Genesis chapter number 31 as he's speaking to them. And then finally we get to about the middle portion of that chapter. I'm off the top of my head, I'm not remembering exactly what verse it was, but what verse it is. But Rachel and Leah look at him and they say, I'm paraphrasing now, I'm not saying exactly the way it's written in that chapter, but you go the way that God has led you. You go the way that God has led you. If that's the way that God's led you, we want you to go that way. But isn't it amazing how that chapter pulls together the thoughts that we just said about being a family leader? He listened to the wisdom of God. God led him a certain direction. He came so that he could speak to his wives that he had, and they listened. They heard what was said there from the mouth of Jacob, the way that God was giving him direction and guidance, and they said, you do what God has led you to do. And so let's remember that when it comes to our decision making. Let's make our decisions based upon the wisdom that God gives us. And certainly nothing wrong with taking the comments and the consideration of our wife as well. But we are to be the family leader in the home. Here's the second thing as far as the role and the responsibility of a man within the home. Number two, we are to demonstrate love. We are to demonstrate love. Now, there's a couple passages of Scripture I want you to look at. Would you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13? Now, if I was to tell you to turn there, you would know that we're going to the love chapter, aren't we? I'm going to talk about love here for a minute. Men in your home, leaders of our homes, husbands in our homes, men, fathers in our homes, we are to not only be the family leader, but we are to demonstrate love as well in the walls of our home. Look at what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. We'll start in verse 1 if you would. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. He says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Without love, words don't hold much value, do they? Words don't have a whole lot of meaning without love. So he says, I could sound off in whatever way I want to. But if I don't have love, those words won't have much value. They won't have much meaning. Look at verse number 3 says, if you would. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long. It literally means it takes a long time to boil. Think about that. The love that we had, the love that we have would suffer long. Is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It doesn't brag or boast on itself. It's not puffed up, the Bible says there at the end of verse number 4. Consider this. Arrogance is big-headed, but love is big-hearted. An arrogant individual, they're big-headed. But a person that has love, they are big-hearted. And that's what God's asking for. Look at what verse number 5 says, if you would. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether they be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. And then it goes on to talk a little bit more about love and saying the greatest of these in verse number 13. Now abideth faith, love, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Now we saw some character traits of love in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. We want to put a pause on that, on giving you those character traits that we saw in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 until we see one more passage of Scripture. Would you look with me, if you would, at the book of Ephesians as well? The book of Ephesians in chapter number 5. There in 1 Corinthians, we saw that our love needs to be in words. Our love needs to be in actions. Our love needs to be in attitudes. So we put all of those together to be able to express our love. It's not just about saying that we love somebody, but it's about the deeds of love as well, or the actions of love, and it's about attitudes of love as well. You could say you love somebody, but if you're saying it with a rotten attitude in your heart, it doesn't hold a lot of weight, does it? So love is demonstrated in our deeds and our words and our actions. But then notice what Ephesians 5 says. Remember, I told you we'd come back to this. Ephesians 5, verse 25 says this, "Husbands, love your wives." Men were to demonstrate love. We're going to give you the characteristics of that love in just a minute. "Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Would you look at verse 28 if you would? It says, "So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself." Why would that be true? Because we're one flesh, aren't we? So because we're one flesh and we've come together and we're cleaving to our wife, cleaving to our husband, we're one flesh. Therefore, if we love ourselves, we're going to love our wife. Look at verse 29. "For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church." And we won't take much time there because we read those verses this morning. Look down to verse 33 if you would. We did not read this one this morning. It says, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife," next three words, "even as himself." To love his wife as himself. What are some characteristics of love? Well, love is selfless, isn't it? Love is selfless. We saw that in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, didn't we? Love puts the other person first. Love is selfless. Love is... them. And we're going to talk about that here in just a moment, a little bit further in the message here. But our love is going to be satisfying again the needs of our wife. And then our love is to be supreme. Another great characteristic of love, it's supreme. Our love for our wife is a love that's above all others, of course, except for the love that we have for our Savior, for our God. But our love for our wife is supreme. It would be a supreme love that would be over any love that we would have for any other human. God says to love our wives that way. And then it's a steadfast love, isn't it? It's a love where we are faithful with that love. And some of you are sitting here tonight and you've been married for many, many, many years. And you would be able to say about your relationship, it's been a steadfast relationship. You've been faithful. There's nothing that's caused you to separate yourself from one another. You've said we've just been steadfast, we've been faithful, we've been committed to one another. The husbands love the wife the way that he should. It's a steadfast love. Now, can we take all of those characteristics of love that we mentioned from 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and then also, excuse me, Ephesians chapter 5, and could we think of that list, a selfless love, a sacrificial love, and then a sanctifying love, a satisfying love, a supreme love, a steadfast love, would that not be a perfect example and a perfect illustration of Christ's love for us and ultimately his love for the church? What a picture that God gives for us. We talked about it already this morning. What an example. What an illustration that Jesus gives to us, the way that we love our wives and how that he showed us perfect love for those of us as we were sinners. And then ultimately his love for the church as well. Then would you look at one more verse when we're dealing with demonstrating love. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3 if you would. 1 Peter chapter 3. And look down if you would at verse number 7. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 7, if we love our wives, the way that we are to love them, we would be willing to honor them the way that we should honor them. So look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. It says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. Giving honor unto the wife. Let's honor our wives the way that we should. And we'll express that and we'll be able to show that as we demonstrate love to our wives. So we said, number one, that the husband has the role, the man, the father, has the role of being the family leader. Number two, he has the role of demonstrating love. Can I give you a few more here before we close? Number three, he has the role of being the family provider. He has the role of being the family provider. Could we go back to Genesis for just a moment? We'll try to be timely with the end of this and these passages we'll look at. Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 15, the Bible tells us that right after God created all that he created in 6 days, he created Adam of the dust of the ground in the Garden of Eden. He placed Adam in. And as he completes his creation, what does he give to Adam? He gives him a job, doesn't he? He gives him a job, a task to do. Genesis chapter 2 verse 15 says, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. As a matter of fact, we told you we'd come back to this. Look over at Genesis chapter 3 and down to verse number 19. After the punishments were handed out, he says to Adam in verse 19, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. What are you going to have to do, Adam? You're going to have to labor. You're going to have to labor by the sweat of your brow, and you're going to have to work so that you can provide for the family that God has given to you. Would you look at 1 Timothy, if you would? 1 Timothy in the New Testament of our Bible, chapter number 5, and look down, if you would, at verse number 8. 1 Timothy chapter 5. And once you've found chapter 5, if you can look down at verse number 8, it says this, but if any provide not for his own, and specially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. To provide for the family that God has given to you. Men, that's the role. That's the responsibility. That's the duty that we have within our homes, to be the family provider. So number one, we said we're to be the family leader. We said we're to demonstrate love. We're to be the family provider. But then number four, I want you to notice tonight, we're also to be the family priest. We're to be the family priest. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Job. The book of Job has a very familiar story in it. Here's this man named Job who the Bible tells us is given, Satan is given permission to test Job. And at first he attacks his possessions and he attacks his children. But then he even attacks his own health, his own body. The Bible tells us that Job is even at a point where his wife says, why don't you just curse God and die? The Bible says at the end of chapter number 1, in all of this, Job sinned not nor charged God foolishly. Which means that he had character in good times and he had character in bad times as well. And he stayed right before God no matter what situation came his way. But there's something unique about the relationship that Job had as the leader of his home. Look at Job chapter 1 and look down if you would. Well, we're going to start with verse 1. Look at verse 1. It says, there was a man in the land of Uz. Notice the description of him. Whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright. One that feared God and eschewed evil. Now, by the way, when you go a little bit later in the chapter, we notice that God says the same thing about him, doesn't he? He gives the same description of Job that we see there in Job chapter 1 and verse number 1. Look at verse 2 if you would. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. Now we're getting to verse 4 here. Verse 3, it says, his substance was also 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household. So that this man was the greatest in all of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And then now notice verse 5. So it was when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings. Notice how this is worded. according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job, how often? Continually. What was Job doing there? Job was acting as the family priest. Job was acting as the family priest. He knew that the spiritual leadership and the spiritual instruction was his responsibility. Now, I understand that not every home has a man that would be able to take that leadership role. So in some homes, it would be the lady. But in homes where there is a Christian home with a Christian dad inside of it, it should be that we are taking the lead for as far as the spiritual instruction is concerned within our homes. It is the man's responsibility to do that. So what would that look like? Well, that would look like a man that's walking close to God. It would look like a man who has a walk with the Lord in his Bible. It would look like a man who has a walk with the Lord when it comes to his prayer life, and he leads his family in all of those things as well. So if his walk is going to be with the Lord the right way, and his Bible time is going to be the right way, and his prayer time is going to be the right way, he's going to lead his family in that as well. So one of the responsibilities of a man, a husband, a father, a leader in the home is that of the family priest. And then number five, he's to be the family protector as well. He's to be the family protector. Men, let's make sure we're protecting our families physically. Let's make sure we're taking care of them physically. Let's make sure we're taking care of them emotionally. When things come up from time to time, when they just need us as leaders to be along beside them and to be able to help them and to give them the support that they need, that we would be there. And then to be the spiritual provider as well. When error begins to creep perhaps into the home, when the home starts to have some activities that might not be activities that are pleasing to the Lord, as God's leader say, that's not going to be, we're not going to be able to partake of that here. It's going to be something that we're going to have to put out of the house. We're going to have to make sure it's not a part of our home, because we're going to be the spiritual provider and the spiritual protector that we need to be to protect our homes. Can I say this? We go to so many lengths to protect our homes as far as thieves are concerned. We've got locks on our doors. I would say that's true of everybody here tonight. I don't know that I could say for sure everyone does, but I would imagine tonight we've got locks on our homes. And so we're making sure we're protecting that way. We've got perhaps security systems on our homes. We've got some of you might even have cameras that's on your home. I can come to your home, maybe I'll wave in your camera there for you. But we've got cameras, we've got security alarms, we've got locks on our doors. We've done so much to protect them from somebody coming inside and causing harm. We've got insurance on it to make sure everything's going to happen. But let's make sure we protect it spiritually. If we're doing all of that to make sure that no one breaks in and no one takes things that are valuable, the most valuable thing we have within our homes is the spiritual part of our homes. Let's make sure we're protecting that. Let's be the family protector that we need to be. And then, and by the way, ladies, would you be willing to let men lead in that way? Would you be willing to let men lead and say, hey, if that's the case, if that's something we shouldn't have in our home, and you feel that God's given you the wisdom in that way, we're gonna make sure it's not part of our home. We're going to protect it in every way we can spiritually. The last one is this, and I'll share a few verses and I'll be done. The men are to be the father as far as to their children, and to be the teacher as a father that God wants them to be a teacher in that home. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4 that we are to raise our children. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but to bring them up, what does it say? In the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We're to bring our children up. We're to be as fathers now. And I know that doesn't apply to everyone that's sitting in here tonight as far as children within your home. But if you have children within your home as a father, you're to be the teacher inside of that home and to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And then the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 22 and down in verse number 6, it says this, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Let's teach by example, but hold on. If we're going to teach by example, we've got to be leading the right example, don't we? It's not about looking at our children and saying that awful statement, well, don't do as I do, you just do as I say. What an awful philosophy. Let's teach by example. You do what I'm asking you to do because you're seeing daddy do it. You're seeing mommy do it as well. Let's be the example that God wants us to be. So men, we've got a great role. We've got a great responsibility. And so let's ask the Lord to help us with it. Maybe perhaps there'd even be some men tonight that would say, I would like to even leave my seat tonight. come forward to the altar and just pray and ask God for His help. Earnestly, just asking God, Lord, help me as the leader of my home to be the leader that God wants me to be. It's not as if because we're praying about that, there's anything wrong within our homes. We're just asking God to help us. We're just asking God to help us to be what we should be. There might be some things we need to correct, some things that need to take place as far as action is concerned. But let's just ask God, Lord, help us with the role that You have given to us to be the leader as a man, as a husband, as a father, the way that You've laid it out in Your Word for us. What a great responsibility we have. Let's ask God. He's the only one who's going to be able to help us with this. Let's ask God to help us. Ladies, would you pray for the men that are in your life? Would you pray for men to be in our church as leaders in our church? Men that are leading in your home, would you pray for them? For God's wisdom, for God's help and His guidance and His leadership, or His direction in your home, so that your husband perhaps in your home, maybe you're just looking around the church and seeing the spiritual leaders in the church, that they would be the leaders that God so desires for them to be and our world so desperately needs as far as Christian families are concerned. Let's ask God to help us with this tonight. Father, I pray that You would help us with these thoughts that are given from the Word of God tonight.